Do you have to use the strongest Pokemon if you want to win? Many players think yes, but over the years, a few trainers have believed in the unique value that a weaker Pokemon could bring. And I'm going to tell you about three of the weakest Pokemon ever that were still able to win huge tournaments despite them being so out there that it doesn't even seem possible. But first, what does it mean for a Pokemon to be weak or strong? A Pokemon's stats are generally the most important when it comes to its strength. Not just having high stats, but also having them be distributed well. This is a big part of why the Paradox Pokemon and the Treasures of Ruin are currently so popular. Their stats are amazing. In fact, when you look at the best performing Pokemon each year, it's always Pokemon who have great stats in addition to something else going for them. But just because the best performing Pokemon always have great stats, it doesn't mean you need to have a lot of stats in order for a Pokemon to be good. In 2016, Smeargle was one of the best Pokemon despite its mediocre stats. It was the only legal user of Dark Void, a powerful move that puts both opponents to sleep. And because it could learn every move in the game, it was able to be customized to be the perfect supporting Pokemon for every team. Add on to that its chaotic ability Moody, which punished opponents for ignoring it, and you had a super volatile Pokemon that threw battles into chaos. Another example is Shedinja, a Pokemon with abysmal stats due to its HP, defense, and special defense all being effectively irrelevant. But in 2019 and 2022, Shedinja saw play due to its ability making it immune to all non-super effective damage, which allowed it to shine in formats where teams were centralized around a few heavy hitters. But both Smeargle and Shedinja have something unique that makes them special. In one case, the best move pool of all time, and the other, the best ability ever made. It helps when there's something unique about a Pokemon that only it can do. But before we talk about our first weird and wacky tournament-winning Pokemon, we have to talk about how you're using such a boring browser. Which is why the sponsor of today's video is Opera GX, a browser designed for gamers. Did you know that default browsers hog your PC's resources? If you're like me, you might have tons of tabs open at a time, but all those tabs can eat up resources your computer has to do other things. With the GX control feature, you can limit how many resources those tabs are eating up. And with GX mods, you can totally customize how the browser looks with ease, making it match your personal style. You can customize the background music, keyboard sounds, opening and closing tab sounds, theme and colors of the browser, and dedicated wallpaper, and manage it all from the mods menu while downloading new mods from the mod store. Visit the GX store to see the wide range of mods available for people to explore and create. And if you use my link in the description to download Opera GX, you'll get access to the latest 12 videos feature, where you'll easily be able to find my 12 most recently uploaded videos. Use my link below to download Opera GX today. And thanks again to Opera GX for sponsoring this video. So, we were talking about Pokemon that have something unique that only they can do. And that was exactly the case with Eevee. And no, I don't mean one of Eevee's many evolutions, I mean regular Babby Eevee. In Pokemon Sun and Moon, Eevee was given something unique that only it could do. A special Z-move called Extreme Evo Boost, which I can't show here because it'll get the video copyright claimed. When Eevee uses Extreme Evo Boost, all of its stats increase by 2 stages. This is an unbelievably powerful move, but it's difficult to use because Eevee's stats are worse than Voltorb's. In spite of this, a few players believed in Eevee. They realized that even though Eevee couldn't utilize these huge stat boosts super well itself, it could give them to a partner with the move Baton Pass or the attack Psych Up. One of these players was Jeremy Rodriguez, who constructed a team entirely around this strategy. Jeremy used Clefairy, this team also had Clefairy, another unevolved Pokemon, to protect Eevee with Follow Me and Frengard. Then he would use Baton Pass to give his boost to Crocodile, which had the niche move Power Trip. This move starts out at a measly 20 base power, but gains 20 base power for every 1 stat boost. That means after an extreme Evo boost, this move has a base power of 220, which is almost 50% stronger than Hyper Beam. On top of that, this team had a second mode with Psych Up and Stored Power Espeon, which is the psychic equivalent of Power Trip. And that's not all. Jeremy also used a Smeargle with the moves Follow Me and Fake Out to help Eevee get set up. But Smeargle also knew the move Transform. This meant that Jeremy could potentially have 2 boosted Crocodiles or Espeons to destroy his opponent's team. Jeremy brought his Eevee-centric team to the Fort Wayne Regional Championships, where he finished 3rd. He followed it up at the Hartford Regional Championships, bringing the same six Pokemon and this time finishing seventh. Convinced his team had what it took to bring him all the way, he brought it one last time to the Daytona Regional Championships and won the whole event before retiring the team. I like to think that it was a combination of Eevee's unique strength and Jeremy's experience with the team that allowed him to claim the victory. But the next Pokemon on our list doesn't have anything even close to extreme Evo boost. In fact, at first glance, and second glance, it's a Pokemon you would really never even seriously consider. Haunter is kind of the opposite of Eevee. What allowed it to shine wasn't the fact that it was given some miracle tool, but instead that it lost something valuable when it evolved. In Generation 7, Gengar's ability was changed from the extremely useful Levitate, which made it immune to ground-type attacks, to the unreliable Cursed Body. Strangely, Ghastly and Haunter were allowed to keep Levitate. An Australian player by the name of Tony Nguyen saw this and realized that Haunter had potential. In 2017, the three Tapu Pokemon were dominating the format, and every one of them was weak to poison. While Gengar would have been appealing, there was a problem. Tony wanted to use Garchomp, and thanks to the ability change, Garchomp couldn't Earthquake while Gengar was on the field.
We didn't Mega because we wanted to keep Levitate in case he wants to go for Earthquake.
We don't have Levitate anymore, Marcus!
Oh, wait.
This is a problem because the Poison, Rock, and Steel-type Pokemon that resist poison are all weak to ground, so the offensive potential seemed too good to pass up. Which is why Tony realized that he didn't have to use Gengar. He could use Haunter instead. It's slower than Gengar and a little bit weaker, but for Tony, the access to Levitate made it a worthwhile trade-off. Pokemon that aren't fully evolved get the special benefit of being able to make use of the held item called Eviolite, which gives both of their defensive stats a 50% boost. This seems like an obvious first choice for any unevolved Pokemon, but Haunter's defenses are so terrible that it actually doesn't help much, and Tony wanted to invest his stat points in speed and damage. So instead, he gave his Haunter a Focus Sash and a move pool of Protect, Shadow Ball, Sludge Bomb, and Taunt. Tony attended the 2017 Brisbane Regional Championships, and against all odds, not only made it to the final bracket, but ended up winning the whole event. Sadly, no footage exists of the event, but we can see that every one of the other teams in the top 8 had at least one Tapu, and Haunter was able to hit half of his finals opponent's Pokemon for super effective damage, with Garchomp hitting 2 of the remaining 3. It's not that Haunter was the strongest Pokemon. Even after Tony's win, nobody else dared to touch it. But it was the perfect Pokemon for the niche that Tony needed on his team. By the way, I actually also used Haunter in a tournament once, and though it was a completely different set, I made a video on it which you can check out here. And hey, if you're liking the content, make sure you subscribe so you can watch more. Haunter isn't the weakest Pokemon to win a tournament, nor, in my opinion, is it even the strangest. And while the two Pokemon we've talked about thus far won in 2017, a year where the power level was lower, this Pokemon managed to win in 2016, the year with Xerneas, Primal Kyogre, Primal Groudon, and Mega Rayquaza. What Pokemon could possibly stand up to such overwhelming power? Well, you might know that Whimsicott has been a mainstay of competitive Pokemon for many years. Whimsicott is a good Pokemon. It's fast and has the amazing ability Prankster. Plus, it has a great supporting move pool to take advantage of it. But in 2016, Jamie Boyt had a problem. He was updating the team he'd brought to the World Championships, but he'd added Infernape. And in doing so, was suddenly faced with a dilemma. Both his Whimsicott and his Infernape wanted the Focus Sash. It was really important for both Pokemon to survive a hit, but only one of them could hold this crucial item. But Jamie realized he didn't actually need to use Whimsicott, since he was just using it for its supporting move pool and ability. So instead of Whimsicott, he decided to use its pre-evolution Cottonee. This little cotton ball was the piece de resistance to his entire team. And thanks to that Eviolite item I mentioned earlier, it was able to gain a ton of stats, allowing it to become remarkably tanky. And Jamie put that tankiness to good use.
Because that's not gonna KO my Cottonee, not even close.
Even though he wasn't running a move that could do damage, it didn't mean his opponents could just ignore Cottonee. Jamie ran the move Encore, which forces the target to use the last move they used for several turns. This let Cottonee reliably check Xerneas, who wanted to set up with Geomancy, as well as any Pokemon that used Protect in front of him. He also ran Fake Tears, which cuts the special defense of the target in half. Now, this obviously worked well with his special attackers, but what about his physical attackers? Well, each of his physical attackers also had a special move. So no matter what Cottonee was paired with, it could always threaten damage. Cottonee wasn't fully geared towards offense. It ran Safeguard, which was a very crucial move to stop Smeargle from putting the whole team to sleep with Dark Void. And Cottonee's final move paired well with Safeguard, Swagger. Swagger doubles the target's attack stat, but confuses them in the process. This can be used against opposing special attackers to give them a 50% chance to fail an attack. But it could also be used to double one of his own Pokemon's attack stats. And if Safeguard was up, that negative confusion side effect would be blocked. Jamie was only able to run all four of these moves without something like Protect because of how much more defensive Cottonee was compared to Whimsicott. This ridiculous utility paired with its staying power due to the Eviolite was the exact thing Jamie's team needed, and he was able to win the Liverpool Regional Championships because of it. So, do you need to use the best Pokemon in order to win? I don't think so. But what these three weaker Pokemon have in common is that their trainers all identified something unique that only they could do. They didn't use these Pokemon because they were weak, they used them in spite of it. Even though none of these Pokemon had enough going for them to be competitive mainstays, they were able to steal a tournament victory by showing up at the right place at the right time.